Lean forward slightly. Look straight at the speaker. And listen with a sparkle in your eye, as though you might be thinking, gee, this is the most wonderful thing I ever heard in all my life.
We interrupt this program to waste some of your valuable time.
Coming to you live from our bedroom studio in the Pacific Northwest, it's TGIF Radio. This show is brought to you by the Internet, Electricity, and Mind Power. And now, with no agenda in mind, here's TGIF Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the highlight of your week. It is Friday. This is TGIF Radio. Say goodbye to the work week, and hello to the weekend. Completely relevant to the song we're playing, there's only two people here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I really wanted to make that work, because Jared bailed on us to go on a date. One time a year he does that.
One time a year? This is like the only time I can ever think of that Jared has gone on a date.
As far as, well, he's done it before, but he's never done it at times that interrupted the show.
And never announced it beforehand.
Yeah.
Which is...
it's a very big deal.
Yes.
So
we are going to grill him extensively next week regarding this.
If it goes badly, maybe he'll show up in the middle of this.
Maybe we should text him if he's still on his date, see if he wants to bring her over. And...
yeah! You know what? If you tell a chick that you're part of an internet famous or infamous show...
yeah, we're...
it's a pretty big selling point.
Yeah. We've even been threatened to be shut down once by a college campus. That was my fault, I'll admit. But.
Yeah, it was more like, if they had kicked you off, the rest of the show wouldn't have survived.
Well, yeah, but no, I mean, I'm obviously grossly exaggerating the scenario.
Of course.
Because that's what every good story is.
What could I have done? Like, just brought someone in off of the street?
I don't know, had a rotating guest star?
Maybe.
Just like, hey, people in the study room, I need a second on my show. Can you come in here for like a whole hour?
And just watch. It would have ended. Every episode would be like 20 minutes in. I would end up kicking them out because they don't make good conversation. And then I'd flub my way through the rest of the 40 minutes trying to loosely tie together subjects into some kind of coherent show. But it wouldn't have worked.
No. But yeah, tell her, that, you know, you're a integral part of a longstanding podcast, which is honestly a rare thing, isn't it? For a podcast to last as long as we've been around,
fairly, yeah. There's some that are older than ours, sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But you know, for every one that lasts that long, I mean, how many only last 10 episodes?
Oh, yeah. Like, remember when Serial was a big deal? Do you remember that craze?
Vaguely.
There was a podcast called Serial.
Right.
With an S.
Mm-hmm.
Not a C. It's very confusing.
Serial is in like the old television
procedurals.
Styling.
Yeah. Yeah. And season one of their show was following the case of a guy who might have killed his girlfriend, but he says he didn't, and the evidence is very strange. So
it was 48 hours, the podcast version.
Is it 48 hours? What's 48 hours?
48 hours is just like a true crime TV show. Teresa's been...
it is true crime, though.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That's what I was going to follow up with asking, because I've never actually looked into it enough to know whether it was fiction or true crime.
No, it was based on a real thing, and the lady who runs it, she interviews the guy who's in prison currently. She interviews family members and past girlfriends and things like that. And it's really... underwhelming, you know, because nothing's really resolved at the end. It's mostly just a massive brain dump of information. Okay, make up your mind now. What does the public think? Like, we're not the jury here.
Well, yeah, in theory, yeah.
We can be judge, jury, and executioner.
Well, we could still technically... I mean, well, we can't be a jury technically now because probably the case is done. That's why all the information's out there.
I don't even know... what the status is of the case or the guy or anything. Well, completely by the wayside.
Yeah, I would assume if they have all the details and that kind of stuff out there, it's probably been finished or resolved somehow.
Yeah. And then the next season, she decides to cover a guy in the military that deserted his post and eventually was captured by Al-Qaeda. But... the reasons for his desertion aren't exactly clear. And again, it ends ambiguously. Right. And they haven't updated the show in like 2-3 years.
In some ways, I can respect the ambiguity because it's not telling you what to think about this case.
No, but God damn it, I want answers, you know? Just don't aimlessly wander with this story. Let me see. Last episode, no, preview of S-Town. Oh, we have a new show. S-Town podcast from Serial, blah, blah. Okay, I guess they've moved on to greater things, but whatever. They only put out like 20 episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was asking if it's similar to 48 Hours, because 48 Hours essentially is, I think it's a CBS is the network that broadcasts it.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the standard networks.
No, I have a guess as to why it's called 48 Hours. Is that how long it takes before a semen sample becomes unviable? Because from what I've seen in many a CSI show, the semen is important. Always get that.
Well, yeah. I mean, as far as the DNA test, it's pretty
undeniable. Great.
It, well, as far as it's kind of hard to fake that.
Like, if you find semen, like, your case is done.
And it's guaranteed that you can get DNA from that.
Just imagine being the guy rolling up on the scene and he just looks at the floor.
Versus, like, hair. You can only get DNA off of hair if it has the follicle still attached.
Yeah.
So
the very end piece. All the rest of it's just dead bullshit.
Right. Yeah, it's just keratin.
Awesome. But imagine being the guy that just rolls in on that crime scene. He looks down at the floor and he sees those white spots. He's like, yes, fist pumps. We got semen. This case is over with.
Anyways,
what a boring guy, man.
And this isn't nearly enough shitty puns and putting on sunglasses for CSI. Mm-hmm. Although that's only Miami, though, isn't it?
That is just, yeah, I think that is.
That's just CSI Miami with Donald Sutherland's kid. No, Donald Sutherland's kid is
the guy
Cooper
with
Sutherland.
The.
Never mind.
The guy with the swoopy hair.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know his name.
Like Conan O'Brien got hit with some
bricks.
Looks
like, yeah, Conan O'Brien's stunt double.
Okay.
It's what it looks like to me. Yeah, Kiefer Sutherland is.
But this guy, though, right?
Yeah. And then it's into The Who.
That's a great website.
Which in some ways kind of ruins that song, because then anytime anybody hears it, they associate it with that god-awful TV show.
That is true. But why are you listening to The Who anyway?
They have some good songs.
Did you see them on the Super Bowl like
four years
ago?
Oh, yes. I saw them 90 degrees off from the guitar or strumming wheel when the sound plays.
My God. Like Tom Petty was looking up at him from the stands going, man, I'm glad I'm not there.
It's like it was playing the guitar noise and his hand was still basically up by his head.
God
on
damn.
On its way down. And it's like, God, just don't. No, don't. That was like a run of like 8 Super Bowls in a row that were just absolute dog shit.
It was amazing. Like from Janet Jackson on, we couldn't get a good one.
I can't remember the last good one, honestly.
As soon as you show
Prince
the
was
boob,
probably the last good one that I can think of.
Prince was awesome.
That was I actually thought was good.
Yeah.
I mean, there were ones that I thought may have been well done, like last year's with, even though I'm not a fan of her, with, was it Lady Gaga?
Miss Gaga, yes. With the drones, that was awesome.
Yeah, while I'm not a fan of her music, it was a really well-done halftime show. It was actually a lot more conservative than I thought she was going to do.
Yeah.
I figured she'd come out in some overly extravagant, weird outfit.
Were you expecting a couple Hitler salutes?
No, not quite that extreme.
Okay.
But no, Andrew, I was over at Andrew's house, and so Andrew, Dave, and I were watching this, and we're like, okay, we're just throwing out the most random ideas of what kind of outfit she's going to come out with that's going to top everything else she's
not
done.
Not a meat dress,
no.
But a rice dress.
But yeah, I was like, how do you top that kind of shit on the Super Bowl? Because obviously you're on the most watched television program in America, and
mm-hmm.
you're going to do something extreme, which she didn't, which I guess I respect, but...
Somebody should have streaked her in that show. I mean, when's the last time somebody streaked?
Security's too good.
That may be true. But
I'm thinking that's why.
Okay, I know the perfect way to get around this, though. You dress up as security.
I was going to say, you get a job as a security guard.
It's the perfect cover.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like a spy infiltrating a criminal organization.
I can't do it, but I think Jared's looking for some opportunities. Maybe we can sign him up for this.
There you go.
Is he working right now? What's his deal?
Well, he's got the GI Bill. He doesn't have to work.
That is true. He's doing
like we've joked before. We're paying for his school and his income.
I thought he was doing some odd jobs around.
I think
though.
He is, but they're more just like, you know, hey, you know, can you come up here for a week and help me with, you know, doing this, that, or the other, building some shit.
Okay, and then they pass some
more
dollar
like odd
bills.
Jobs are on the side under the table type jobs. Yeah.
Okay.
It's not something that has, you know, he's going to get a W-2 at the end of the year.
Still good, though. Fuck W-2s. That's just more paper that's getting wasted.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm not sure if it's better to, speaking of, like, paper, money, paper, I don't know if it's such a good idea to be putting the money on plastic. Like, I know nobody's pushing for it in the
like
States.
Like the Canadians?
Yeah. Those goddamn Canadians.
I'm okay with the idea of it, partially because it does last so much longer.
Mm-hmm.
It's got, like, what, a 5 times
at least
longer circulation period?
Yeah.
Because I think, isn't the average for, like, a $1 bill, like,
three years.
3 to 5 years is the average lifespan.
You're lucky if you find one that is from the 90s.
Yeah.
Like, that's an achievement of Mr. Washington.
Yeah, I think 1s through 10s, because those are the most commonly circulated bills, I think.
1s through 10s?
Maybe through 20s, because 20s seem to get around a lot.
Yeah, they're like the best thing to use for the drug trade.
Well, 20s are just, the best standby bills to have in your wallet. Because everybody can make change for them, no matter where you go. No matter the tiniest little convenience store or hot dog stand can make change for 20. You know, up to going to, you know, the 5-star restaurant, you can just use a bunch of 20s.
That is true. Although my boss was 2 days in a row, he has walked down the aisles of our cubicles going, anyone got change for 20? No, it was change for a 5 and nobody had it.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Poor guy.
Who keeps 5 ones in their wallet?
Hardly anybody. I mean, I have it pretty often.
Yeah.
Just, the odd vending machine.
Right.
It just kind of happens.
I try and keep a couple, like 2 5s and maybe like 3 ones. Or at least, I try and keep at least $8 in there. I know it's an arbitrary number, but
$8.
Well, because then I have a 5 if I have something more than $3, but I have a couple dollar bills if I have something like $5.27,
mm-hmm.
or if I have something that's like $2 and change, then I can just use my ones rather than get $2 bills and change.
Okay.
And then I have 5 ones.
There is a strategy there. I cannot deny that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, either like $8 or $9.
It's like the same reason I used to carry a single solitary quarter in my wallet.
Mm-hmm. See, I've
in the age of payphones.
I don't think I've carried coins in my wallet or a coin pouch or gotten a wallet with a coin pouch in it or anything like that for probably 10 years. I haven't carried coins around specifically.
That's something to be proud of, though. That's not sarcastic.
I honestly think because I have a little, it's technically supposed to be, I think, an ashtray in my car, kind of in the middle of the center console. I've thought about putting just like $2 in quarters in there just because inevitably you go into, say, going to Portland, you're going to end up at a parking meter and you're going to be like, fuck, I don't have any coins.
I have this cool little drawer right next to my steering wheel. There's a bunch of garbage in there already, but that's just where I dump all the change in.
Right.
Like if I pulled that drawer out, it would probably be 3 pounds heavy. And that's just all the change that I'll ever need. I know where it is. All parking meters are taken care of from here on out. But back to the plastic money. I don't know if it's a good idea.
I don't know, because to be fair, I don't think it's going to be anything in the near future that's going to happen, because they've been talking about it since, I think we were in like eighth grade. I read an article about the U.S. was considering it.
Yeah, and nobody will like it either.
Oh, absolutely
People
not.
Will be so pissed that it's not their paper money anymore. Like, people are throwing such a shit fit about who's going to be on the 20 possibly changing. I don't even know what's happening with that anymore.
Well, I remember the big, I think that's supposed to start in 2020.
2020?
I think so.
Perfect.
But I think it's going to be one face on the front and one face on the back.
Another face on the back? What the fuck, you guys?
I don't know if they're taking Jack, because it's the $20 bill, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Because initially they were going to do the $10 bill, which was the biggest thing that people were freaking out about, partially, because the $10 bill has Alexander Hamilton, who founded the U.S. Treasury Department.
Yeah.
So you're saying, we're going to take off the guy who started the department that issues the money.
And people don't look very far beyond it. They just kind of go, oh, he's not a president. Get him the fuck off there. You're going to take
Ben Franklin or...
don't take good old Benny off that bill.
Those
Benny's a good boy. What?
Those are the only two non-presidents on our bills, aren't they?
Yes.
Because you have Grant on the 50, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and that's obviously president. Jackson, obviously. And then most obviously, Lincoln and George.
Mr. George. Let's see. I'm trying to find proposal for...
I love how they have the Blacklight mag strip picture on there. That's
see,
so cool.
When I was first learning how to save money as a child, I wanted to make it to $100 just so I could get a $100 bill to figure out what color that UV strip was.
Isn't it like orange?
It's pink.
Pink. That's right. Orange, I think, is the 50.
I don't remember what the 50 was. Mm. I think it might have been blue. I want to say the 10 was orange.
Everything I know is a lie.
So fucked up.
Actually, that would make sense to, Well, actually, that would be interesting to have the mag strips glow the color that the bill is colored. Which you would have to reverse the 50 and the 100 in that regard, but...
That is true, yeah. That's
not
that big a change.
With our new Monopoly money U.S. currency.
Yeah. Because
we basically have Monopoly money as our tender.
Hey, that's why I like it being paper, though. I mean, I get the whole plastic thing. You know, it lasts a billion years, blah, blah, blah. And I guess nobody would really throw it away.
Yeah, and it'd be a lot harder to counterfeit.
Yeah, but Monopoly is like a true American value,
yeah,
okay?
It's capitalism in its purest form.
How do you think we would have had Microsoft without that concept? Come on, you guys.
Like capitalism or Monopoly?
Monopolies, okay. Yeah. Because, you know, they had that whole... I sometimes rewatch the tapes of Bill Gates and the antitrust trials that he had go through. He's so fucking flippant about it. Like, it's amazing that his company still exists.
I get this distinct impression that Steve Jobs basically didn't give a fuck about anybody that wasn't Steve Jobs.
It's true. He was kind of wrapped up in his own little thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had an illegitimate daughter?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, this is a very common, TIL kind of thing of, it's up there almost with the Steve Buscemi 9/11 firefighter thing.
Oh, my God. Yeah. How many times has that been posted?
I don't know. I'm not sure I want to know. Anyways, Jobs had basically an illegitimate daughter and refused to acknowledge that she was his daughter tried to avoid child support payments.
Yeah. And then he named the computer after her.
Yeah. Even after becoming a fucking billionaire through Apple. Oh, no, it's not my kid. And I think it was until she was like a teenager.
Really? And then he finally acknowledged it?
I think so.
It being the child.
Yeah.
Children are its.
Well, I thought it as in the him being the parent.
Oh, I was thinking it as in the clown.
I was thinking subject, not person.
Okay, understood.
Although, I guess by saying it, you're being the most politically correct because you're not assuming anything about how
self-identify. No, that's not how I. No, when I say it, I mean it in the most disparaging way. Like, I don't know what the fuck you are. Get out of my house. How did you get here? Get off my porch. I keep a shotgun in this closet.
You do?
No, I don't.
Okay, this is news to me, but.
But imagine if I did. That's to keep the its away.
Yeah.
Almost lost my vodka.
The Joe Biden special.
What?
Oh.
Did he shoot people?
No, no, no. It was. Oh. This was years ago. This was during the whole big push for another assault weapons ban. That Joe Biden was saying, all you really need for home defense is a double barrel shotgun. You know, you can just, if somebody's trying to kick in your door, you can just shoot them through the door.
Uh-huh.
Or fire one warning shot in the air, and then you still have one more shot if they decide to kick in the door. So he's advising putting a hole in your ceiling by shooting the ceiling.
Fuck up your own house to
save
yourself.
Or shoot a person through the door, which could be just some drunk guy thinking that he's at his house, but not, and it's actually yours.
It's totally possible. Just depends on what city you're in.
Yeah. Or how close to all the big bar districts you are.
You think Mr. Joe's ever been shooting? I don't know if he has.
Probably not.
No. Not with those teeth. The game would see him from a mile away, the sun reflecting off of him. Ding!
I think Obama liked going trap shooting, though, or skeet shooting. I've seen pictures.
I've seen pictures, but I don't know if that's necessarily indicative of, you know, true interest.
Right.
The media and all.
Yeah.
We are the media.
Well, he certainly
now.
Had enough money invested into all this stuff.
What, shooting?
Yeah, well, he had like an $8,000 shotgun.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that was
shotguns can cost that much?
Oh, that's... No, they get more expensive than that.
Is this silver plated? What the fuck is that?
You can... There was one of my trap competitions there that we went out to. It was in Wenatchee, Washington.
Yeah.
We went out there. There was one of the guys that was, like, helping host the place. He was like, yeah, I got enough spare bedrooms for, like, 2-3 people. If you guys want, I can house you guys. So we're like, well, fuck it.
Signal number one that he's loaded.
Well, yeah, he's was very wealthy and retired. But basically, so it was Andrew and I and our dads went. So, but yeah, we were there. We were talking with the guy because he's like one of the chief members of the club, whatever. And he was like, oh, yeah, we were telling him about what shotguns we shoot and that kind of stuff. He's like, and he brings out his that he uses. And he's like, oh, yeah, I got it for a killer deal. I got it for like $18,000.
Fuck you. Whoa.
But the thing is, the market value for the thing was like $24,000.
Oh my God.
Because it's like a shotgun, but then it's got inserts that go in the barrel that you can change the caliber down. Whoa. And each one is a set choke for the entire length of the barrel.
That, yeah, that sounds really expensive.
And it was the full set of basically all the chokes for 12 gauge and then inserts for 20 gauge and I think 28 gauge.
So it's this tube that you slide into the barrel.
It's a full length 30 inch tube that slides into the barrel that attaches. And that can either change the caliber or the chokes. I forget the brand, but they're really cool. And then the
Rolex.
No, Rolex is going, fuck, people can do that?
Yeah, they're thinking about it. Just wait until 2020.
Oh, no. You want Rolex is nothing compared to expensive watches. You want to go expensive watches, look up...
So Rolex isn't the most expensive?
Oh, God, no.
Oh, shit.
No, they're...
What do I look up?
I'm trying to think of the name of the brand. I think it's...
Gucci Mane?
No.
Lil Yachty? No. These are just rappers. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Give me 1 second and I'll pull up the brand.
I'm going to apologize to the entire black community and the rapper community. Not that they're the same.
No. But
not
yeah.
saying that.
No, that would be racist. No. But no, it's this brand that their cheapest watch that I could find for sale was like $27,000.
Oh my God.
Was their least expensive fucking watch.
Does it track like the orbit of Pluto?
Yeah,
what the hell?
The brand is Panera. Panerai. Panerai.
E-R-I-A?
Panerai.
Watch. Hey, look, it comes up in the autofill. Okay.
And they just look like normal fucking watches.
Let's see.
Wow, oh, no, never mind. That's a different brand. I'm thinking of something else.
Panerai.
Those ones are only like a grand.
Is it pronounced Panera, though? Like the bread? I sure hope so. Hey, that one's got water droplets on it. That's how you know it's a big deal. Oh, water droplets. That reminds me.
No, never mind. That's not the most. That's not the brand that I was thinking of. It'll come to me later, and I'll probably blurt it out like 10 minutes from the end of the show. But
okay. That's fine, though. I mean, hey, if these watches were made out of bread, that's a lot of bread, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
Because of the money you have to spend to get them. I'm so sorry for all of this. My name is Mr. Walken, I think. I'm not sure what this cadence is at all.
No, I have no idea
but
either.
But fuck, those are expensive.
Yeah, but no, they had one watch because I was going through like their... things of their offerings.
Yeah.
I'll find the brand later, I'm sure, but
okay.
They
let it just float up in your consciousness.
Their most expensive watch that I found was at least on this that was available to buy was like $122,488.
All the gears are made out of pure diamonds.
Well, I know
mined by African children.
I know the band and the case were made out of 18 karat gold.
18, that's it.
I know.
Fuck off. Give me
it may have been 24 karat. Because...
20 plus a nothing, bitch.
Yeah.
Is 18 like the tipping point for 18, softness and...
I think it's the best balance between softness and firmness.
Okay. I'm not even sure what a carat is. It's a measure of softness or purity, I think.
I think so.
C-A-R-A-T. But diamonds can be measured in carats, right?
Yeah. No. I think it's a measure of mass.
It is. According to the Wikipedia, carat is a unit of mass equal to 200 milligrams and is used for measuring gemstones and pearls.
That's... Okay, I found the brand.
Okay.
It's a Patek Philippe. It's P-A-T-E-K. P-H-I-L. You found it.
It autofilled, actually. We might have looked at this before.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to look for prices to buy them, the best website to go look at is called like Joma Shop or something like that. It's got J-O-M-A. It's probably linked under the Google results.
Joma Shop. Watches for men, women, etc.
They're like an authorized dealer for most every major brand.
Watches. Okay, the first watch that popped up was $579. Let's see if we can sort these by price.
Yeah. Low to high, or high to low.
Oh, damn it. It's low to high. Okay, so.
God damn it. You're going to have like 80 pages of bands, but.
Damn it. I want to go high to low. Oh, P2. Okay, so let's just make this 200. Let's see what we get. All right.
What are we up to for price?
500.
Oh, God, no. You got to go like, add like an extra zero or something.
2,000 then. Okay. I love hacking URLs like this. okay, that didn't work at all. So let's try a slightly smaller number. What the hell's going on with this? Okay, I don't understand. I will absolutely take your word for it.
Yeah, but no. Look at shot by brand and then look up Patek. I think it should be shot by brand's the far left tab.
Hey, P. Patek Philippe.
They're probably, yeah, one of the most ridiculously expensive watches.
My God!
And they don't look anything special. Look, I mean, the far right one, the eighth one listed.
This one?
Yeah. How much is that one?
That is $19,995.
It looks like a $30 Timex.
23% off. It would have cost you $22,000.
So that's the MSRP. But honestly, does that not look like basic? Okay, I'm going to pull.
It looks very normal.
Hold that for a second. I'm going to pull up a comparison watch here.
I mean, it's just got all, the only cool thing is that it's got Roman numerals. I think it says email underneath the six. That's hard to tell. I'm not sure what this dial in the center is.
That's probably the power reserve meter or the date or something like that. Anyways, oh, okay.
Could
so
be.
Replace that, the Roman numerals with actual numbers. Does it look much different than this watch that I'm showing you right here?
Not terribly, except for that inside dial.
Well, yeah, but other than, I mean, this I just picked one generic one. Mm-hmm. Okay, actually, here's one that's a little closer. Again, replace the Roman numerals with numbers.
Right.
And you have
it's very crisp looking.
And
it's...
you have a $25 Timex Weekender. $25.
Sorry, I was in shock a little bit from the price difference.
It will do the exact... I mean, quite frankly, it'd probably tell more accurate time than your $20,000 vanity piece.
28-carat rose gold case.
28-carat? I didn't think carats went that high.
No. Did I say that? I meant 18.
Oh, I was going to say, I thought 24 was pure gold.
So sorry. 28 is just pure gold with fake gold to protect the real gold.
It's pure gold and then some.
alligator leather strap.
That's, yeah.
Rose gold bezel. Enamel
so it's
rose dial.
Gold, so it's a mixture between white gold, which is a blend of golds anyways.
Yeah.
And yellow gold. So it's not even...
This has the sub dial. The little tiny one in the middle is the second hand, actually.
Oh, okay. So that's kind of cool, but not $20,000 cool.
Sapphire crystal. Back.
Okay. So it's got probably a exhibition back.
Water resistant to 30 meters.
So the lowest water resistance that you can have on a watch.
Pretty much. Yeah.
No, 30 meters is the lowest you can get. And they say basically that's okay for splashes, but not like submerging it in water.
Like this calculator watch that I got. Let me see. It doesn't say what it is on here, but I swam with this like in a lake for an hour and it died.
Yeah.
The same thing would happen to this.
Oh, yeah. But no, if that died, you'd have to take it to
You have to fly this to fucking
You would have
Sweden.
To either mail it to them or find some sort of authorized dealer to repair it, which would cost you probably at least probably $5,000 to repair it.
How are you guys getting away with this?
And the thing is, with automatic watches like that, you have to service them every, like, five-ish years.
Yeah, so you got to keep flying to Sweden every 5 years to fix your goddamn watch.
Yeah, and pay them $5,000 to fix your watch. Because it's now 2 seconds off or something.
Let's see if I can, like, find a controversy
section. I don't understand the vanity that must go into having anything, quite frankly, that is that outside of the cost of normality.
Oh, okay. Here's why there's such a big deal.
Were they, like, the watch manufacturer for the Pope or something?
Very close, actually. Past
Hitler.
Owners of Patek Philippe watches include Pope Pius IX.
Damn, I'm good.
Queen Victoria.
Well, think about it. They have more money than the entire rest of the people they lord over.
It's
combined.
True. Some people I don't recognize, and Albert Einstein.
Hmm. Then again, that was probably before they became a big vanity piece.
It may be true. I'm not...
can't
really know.
The same way what today is like the Casio G-Shock, you know...
Yeah.
Okay, that was back in the 1950s and 1960s. That was the Rolex Submariner.
Really?
I mean, not necessarily the costume.
Because people thought it was that cool.
Well, it was the epitome of cool.
It definitely was.
It was like 300 meter water resistance. So you could literally strap on a scuba tank and a dive suit and go dive to the bottom of the, you know, go diving wherever you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could go put on a tuxedo and go to the opera with that same watch.
Absolutely.
And it would blends keep taken right along perfectly. And they were far more, I think, affordable or accessible than they are now.
Yeah. And you can wire up bombs with them.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, multi-purpose.
I thought that was like a little Casio that was the most common little bomb watch. The Casio, like, F91.
That might be true. I think the G-Shock is kind of in that same area. You can, if you just find the two connectors.
Are you really
going to
spend $100 on your bomb detonator, though? Because you can get a.
If you want it to work, you
that's
will.
That's true, but you can get a basic Casio Quartz for like $9.
That is also true.
And
yeah,
you
just
can get a Chinese knockoff, which probably works just as well for bombs for like $250 on eBay.
Yeah, you never seen James Bond going into a Walmart, but you know he did just to get one of those cheap ass watches.
He actually did wear a couple.
What's the shittiest watch he wore?
As far as overall quality, probably. Well, he wore in, I think, Live and Let Die was a Hamilton. I don't remember the name of the thing. It was the first mass produced digital watch.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But at the
so
time,
definitely, yeah, not.
It was awesome at the time because digital watches didn't exist before then.
Mm-hmm.
And neither did quartz movements.
Quartz
movements is like the most common basic, you know, like a single tick of the second hands is a quartz movement. Basically, it's a battery powers or causes a piece of quartz, the stone, to vibrate at a certain frequency, and that moves the gears. The same way on a watch like the one I have on right now. If you look at the back of it, it's got a rotor, which when I move the watch, it spins, which winds a spring, which the spring then unwinds, which then moves the gears.
That's like my dad's old watch.
Yeah. They're really cool. These are just mechanical marvels. And, I mean, the quartz are great, too, and they're super robust. They're far more robust than automatics, quite frankly.
And you can't wire up a bomb with that.
No.
Not the one you're wearing.
Not that I'm aware of.
Then again, figure it out. It's not that hard.
Although, if I did, I'd wire it. Although, theoretically, you can wire up, you know, there's the classic trope of wiring up sticks of dynamite to old-timey alarm clocks.
Yeah. Man, when was the last time somebody did that? I think we could pull that off, too.
I don't know.
Because, I mean, they just have springs in them. They don't even have anything electrical to make spark. So what do you do?
Do they, like, hook the wires up to the bells and hook a 9-volt battery to the hammer or something?
I think they put...
That actually is not a terrible idea.
I think they
it's a terrible idea, but...
I think it's great.
I mean, it's a terrible idea as far as the simplicity of making a bomb and that I'm putting that little thought into it. But
I think what they do is they put a little bit of flint inside the bell, and then that sparks and lights the fuse and sets off the
dynamite.
Well,
even like in the Old West, the little plungers to detonate the dynamite... That's creating an electrical spark. That's how they detonate it.
And it's just, what is it doing? Like just scraping something?
Yeah, basically, when you push it down, it basically is like those old toys that you'd spin and they'd do the little sparks in the little dome.
Really?
Basically. You know, those old little cackling toys where you'd like push them along and they'd make a bunch of little sparks as they cackled? They go click, 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 click.
See, I've never heard one do that. I need to watch more Wild West films,
apparently. No, I'm thinking like the little kids' toys where you like pull back the car and let it go, and it would do like the little ticking noise, and there would be little sparks going off inside a little acrylic dome.
Okay.
It's
pretty advanced for those prospectors.
It's just the same concept of basically you have something that, yeah, you create a very, very basic electrical current that's just enough to set it off because dynamite's nitroglycerin in clay, essentially.
Hey, now that you're in a new line of work, can you get us some dynamite?
I don't.
Just asking for a friend.
I don't know. I probably could get some better explosives than dynamite, quite frankly.
Hey.
They'd probably be on the job site, but at the same time, I think they'd probably have that locked down pretty good.
Yeah. Well, hey, if you work there long enough, you get to learn some of the trade secrets.
Yeah, I get into the purchasing departments, and I need 20 pounds when I only need 18.
Yeah.
And now I'm on a watch list.
God, I was reading some fucking thing. What was it? Like, people in Britain, there were news agencies in Britain that were freaking out about, you can buy this one thing on Amazon, and it was like ball bearings or something.
Yeah.
And it would auto-suggest all the things to make you a black powder, too.
Yeah.
But...
And they probably also
But you know why that makes sense, and they're just having a moral panic.
Was a pressure cooker also suggested?
I don't believe so.
Because then you have the Boston bombing.
Yeah, but...
A bunch of ball bearings, a pressure cooker, and I forget what they used as an accelerant, but...
They just used, like, they just scraped out gunpowder from fireworks.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's about right. So basically black powder.
Yeah, but they were freaking out because,
that's
like...
That's exactly what...
You could buy 10 pounds of nitrous whatever, and it would suggest other ingredients for black powder, and they were like, oh, what's Amazon gonna do about this? Well, nobody's gonna take the fucking time to make their own black powder if they're gonna make a bomb.
Yeah, if they're gonna make a bomb, they're just gonna go somewhere else where they can get it.
Yeah, friends of friends.
They're gonna take a weekend trip over to, like, the Czech Republic or something, or Bosnia.
To the gunpowder fields, yeah.
Well, somewhere where, you know, those types of laws and restrictions are much more loose.
Of course, yeah.
Or go, like I was saying, go somewhere like Bosnia where they don't really, there's so much shit going on down there that there's no way you could regulate it anyways.
Is there still stuff going on in Bosnia? I don't know what happens there.
I don't know
there.
That shit ever stopped in Bosnia.
It's just a constant rotation
I remember bodies
and soil.
Well, I think the Bosnians try and find any reason to turn into violent riots. Like, one of the funny ones that I think of is...
Any way to avoid responsibility, you know?
The first McDonald's that opened in Bosnia, a mob, like, torched it to the ground. They, like, threw Molotov cocktails into it, like, blew it up and burnt it to the ground.
They hate McDonald's.
Yeah, because, oh, this capitalist organization... Because I think that was just after the fall of communism.
What the hell?
This was, like, in the mid-late 90s, I think.
That's hilarious. Holy shit. They got a cool flag, though. I just looked it up. Bosnia and... Oh, they got kind of a joint operation. Bosnia
so it's
and...
the Austro-Hungarian Empire kind of mentality.
Herzegovina. That's as close as I can get.
I don't know. I'm fucking...
Protests in 2014. Protests against the government. One of two entities. Dubbed the Bosnian Spring. Yeah, what? Nobody was paying attention to that. No. We already had such a cooler thing going on.
People only paid attention to Bosnia when you were fighting the Russians because everybody hated the Russians.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to make that leap, I guess.
I saw actually a really cool kind of photo from actually the Bosnian War with Russia.
Yeah?
It was like a Russian soldier. There was randomly just some upright piano sitting in the middle of like a bombed out street.
Oh, I think I've seen that picture.
And the Russian soldier just kind of stops and is like, you know, kind of plinking on the piano a little bit. Literally everything else is rubble around him except for the Russian soldier and the piano.
Yeah.
And the piano's got like a little couple like scrape marks and some dust on it, but otherwise it's in more or less good shape.
But that piano sounded like shit,
oh,
though.
Oh, God.
You know there's nothing scarier than a really shittily played
piano?
Yeah. I need one of those. Like, I found a
out-of-tune piano.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can buy one on Craigslist for like $100.
I don't need a full piano.
Grandma's piano that they don't want to fuck with anymore. Well, honestly,
who's going to move this piano for me though?
A bunch of Dutch dudes.
Yeah, you know, they're just lying around.
They've built their houses specifically around that.
What?
No, I'm joking, but isn't the thing like they'd have like to get like pianos up to like the third story windows, they'd have like the big windows that they could open up so they could get an upright piano through it?
Is that the whole
or
reason?
Or is
it
some horrid myth that I heard in like the fourth grade and it's been perpetuated throughout my entire life?
That doesn't sound too outlandish to me. I mean, if they got the windows big enough, why not put the piano in
it?
And then
the roof overhangs enough that you can hook a pulley system up to it or something like that.
Yeah, how do you think Beethoven got that piano up there?
I don't think he was in the Netherlands. I don't think he was Belgian or Dutch or whatever that I'm talking about.
That may not be true. You ever heard of that movie?
Beethoven,
though?
I believe, was German or Austrian.
He was German.
Okay.
That sounds German to me. I'll look it up really quick.
I think Bach was Austrian. But at the time, modern-day Germany and modern-day Austria are completely different than, you know, 1600s.
Oh, this is interesting. Born in the Electorate of Cologne in the Holy Roman Empire,
which was still around. Cologne would be, I think, modern-day Germany.
He died in Vienna.
Okay, so that would have been Austria.
Yeah, but you ever heard of that movie, Beethoven Lives Upstairs?
Uh-uh.
It's just a movie about Beethoven living in someone's house, and about 40% of the movie is just him, like, moving his hand around, making up music, and he's, like, throwing plates of food at the wall, and he's just running around on the streets yelling at people.
This sounds like as ridiculous as a premise of Guess Who's Back.
It's so fucking... What's Guess Who's Back?
I think
what
it's
is
like,
that?
It's Hitler gets...
Oh, yes!
Hitler
yeah.
is in the 21st century and becomes a pop culture phenomenon or
no,
something
no, no, but
like
it,
that.
But it's...
I've never seen it. I've just seen it pop up on Netflix from time to time.
I do want
to
watch it, but... But this too. Is like... this is Beethoven in his time.
Okay.
So he...
I'm
just,
picturing him in like some just... Some attic like Nosferatu in 21st century Vienna or something.
No, but he... It's a... let's see. Beethoven Lives Upstairs, 1992. Is there a trailer, please? No. Fuck. That sucks. I'll find it. But yeah, he's just running around yelling at people.
Yeah. We should ask Jared what his date idea was going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Because I kind of hope he wasn't like going like, oh, yeah, let's go see Kingsman 2 or something like that.
I do want to watch that.
I do, too. I heard it's not quite as good as the first one.
It never was going to be.
No, because the first one is just lightning in a bottle.
Yeah. Let's see. Beethoven Lives Upstairs. Is there
yeah. I heard basically it's not better than the first, but it's only... It's not really much worse either.
Okay.
Which, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with staying the same.
If it gets within one IMDb point of the original movie, I'll watch it.
Which, what does the original have?
I think like a 8? I don't know. That's my guess. Solid yeah. 8.
I still need to get Therese to watch it.
She hasn't seen it?
No. She was like, oh, yeah, did you want to go see it? Because I told her the new Kingsman movie's out. She's like, did you want to go see it? I'm like, yeah, but you haven't seen the original yet, so.
Original Kingsman has a 7.7. New one is sitting at a 7.4 currently. Not so different, but, you know.
Maybe also people had really high expectations for this.
Maybe. There was a lot of extravagant stuff.
Yeah, and it does look more a little bit more ridiculous and over the top than the first one, which is saying a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I'm kind of down with it.
No, I'm ready for it.
Because
they also kind of shot their wad with telling, hey, Colin Farrell's still alive.
I know, I really wish that they had done nothing other than that shot in the first trailer where it's all of a sudden, like, the last 4 seconds of the movie is all of a sudden him with an eye patch shaving. That's it.
Yeah.
Although that
would have been awesome.
That being said, right after Kingsman came out, Colin Firth basically was saying that, you know, I'm not against doing another one.
He was really indifferent about
it. Actually, I think most of the main cast was like, yeah, we're not against having Colin Firth come back. Like, how the fuck do you have him come back? He got shot in the face.
You know, I wouldn't mind if we ended the war. Yeah, is that... Mm. It's like the same tone.
And I don't want any spoilers for it, but I kind of almost hope that they don't address anything about how he's still alive. They just acknowledge.
He just shows up.
Oh shit! He's still alive. He had amnesia for like 6 months, and that's why he didn't show up for the big battle at the end. And you know, it's like the Statesman found him just lying in a pool of his own blood in Kentucky, because that's where they're based. Mm-hmm. I think. I mean, they're bourbon boys, so
the state is that something.
The Statesman's like the
the next one.
Yeah, the Statesman is like the American equivalent of the Kingsman.
Okay, well,
instead of being based in a bunch of tailors, they're based in a bunch of like bourbon making cowboys.
You already got the Secret Service, though. That's kind of.
But they're more
the
awesome.
Secret Service.
Call
yourselves that.
But the thing is, the Kingsmen aren't attached to in government.
Oh, that is true.
They're extra governmental.
So they're like the CIA.
No, the CIA answers to the U.S. government.
Do they?
Well, okay. Let me rephrase that. They get their funding from the U.S. government.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We need to just follow that money. You know, that's where the accountability ends. Yeah, it really helps when, you know, everybody's burning each other's microfilm.
Yeah, but
no one's accountable.
But yeah, so I'm assuming, yeah, Colin Firth, they find him lying pool in his own blood. So like, oh, shit. Okay, well, let's patch him up and give him an eye patch and call it good.
He's not even listed very highly on this page. Like, he's shoved all the way down behind some dude named Tom Benedict Knight.
Which actually kind of makes me slightly optimistic, because I wonder if they'll pull him out in like the third act.
Maybe.
Because I think if he got brought in like right away, it would cheapen it. Because Colin Firth was the best part of the first movie.
Yeah. He exudes class if he wants to.
He was the Bond that Roger Moore could have been, in my mind.
Dude, what if he's the next Bond?
He's too old.
Damn it. Colin Firth's too old?
He's in his like mid-50s.
What? No. Well, how old's Daniel Craig? He's not 50
yet. Daniel Craig is almost 50, but this is going to be his last movie.
I don't know. I think Colin Firth could still do it.
I
mean, look at that face. That face.
But the thing is, they want longevity. They want him to be able to do probably 4 or 5 movies. How old is he?
1960.
So he's 57 years old.
57. Damn. He could be the oldest Bond. No, how old was Roger Moore?
Roger Moore was 57 when he quit.
Hey, let's just set a new record. He looks way younger
than Roger Moore. Oh, God.
Touch him up a little bit. Send him out there. Let's set a new record. Yeah. Look at that face.
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, I love him. And actually, I think if he was James Bond around like the Pierce Brosnan era, it would have been great.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I like Pierce, but that would have been like the perfect age for Colin Firth to do James Bond.
What did he look like back then?
That would have been Pride and Prejudice era, I think.
Was he in a Pride and Prejudice movie?
The one with Keira Knightley. I haven't seen it, but...
Oh, man, dude, I would have loved to have seen this Bond.
A bit of a haircut and a little bit better tailored suit, and yeah, he could have been Bond.
Who's he making out with up here? What's
I don't know. I'm not sure I want to know.
I think it's
himself. I just
want to
think of my Colin Firth killing like 20 people in a racist church. That's how I want to think of him. Honestly, that's the first movie I ever watched with Colin Firth.
What bullshit? Really? You haven't seen Love Actually?
Okay, second movie. Okay. No, I have not seen Love Actually.
It's pretty good.
Second movie I ever saw him. The first movie I ever saw him in was Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. And I completely forgot he was even in that movie until I looked at his IMDb later.
Yeah, I had no idea.
And then I watched The King's Speech, which I enjoyed.
I fell asleep partway through that. Oh, you know what? I like King's Speech, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really great.
Although
no
I almost
reason
think
to
Jeffrey
get that
Rush
an R.
does even better.
Mr. Rush, what is that? Oh, yeah, duh.
Jeffrey Rush is the speech therapist.
Barbossa.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course. That's a great speech therapist.
It's weird to see Tim Burton's wife, Helena Bonham Carter, in something that's not weird.
Was she not that weird? She was dressed somewhat normally?
She was Colin Firth's wife.
What? I don't remember it that well, obviously.
She was Colin Firth's wife in that movie.
Sorry, I'm trying to find a clip of something else, but I may not be able to find it. There's this part. It's just so funny that he ended up being the speech therapist after being a pirate.
Because he's famous for a pirate.
Like, I have watched the original Pirates of the Caribbean so many times.
Agreed.
And there are just 3 or 4 lines that he says that it doesn't matter how often you hear them, you don't know what he's saying. We haven't turned the subtitles on because that would ruin the magic, but I mean,
holy
crap.
Okay, so what scenes
are
we talking about? See if I agree on this, because I have no idea what you're talking about. Because I understand most of his lines. Honestly, in some ways, he's the most enunciated person in the movie.
Okay, what about the part where they first bring Elizabeth Swann on board? She's holding the medallion over the edge of the boat, and he's basically asking her why she would dump it over the side of the boat. He says some really fucked up sentence there.
He basically asks, why would you drop this over in ye olde pirate speak?
Why? That's all I hear whenever that scene happens. What is he? What he's saying?
I think he's basically asking if it means nothing to you, you know, how do you know it doesn't mean anything to us or something like that. I don't remember. I'd have to watch the movie again, and I'd actually, if you queued up the clip, I might be able to listen to it.
I really wish I had the fucking thing.
And we don't want to log into Netflix and queue it up or anything, but.
Is it on Netflix?
It's on Netflix. Oh, okay. We're talking Curse of the Black Pearl, which is by far the best. I think I've watched Curse of the Black Pearl more than I've watched all the rest of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies combined.
Let's try it out. Pirates. Well, it's the best one, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, my God. The original one's here. All right. We're going to find this fucking clip.
Okay. At World's End is very good. I don't care what anybody else says. I enjoy the hell out of it.
I need to watch it again,
it's so much more epic and grand scale than any of the other movies.
Okay, let's see. I think we're coming up on it here. Oh, and the subtitles are on, so we're going to learn.
I'll drop it.
Okay.
Here we go. What is it? What is this bullshit that
he says?
I'm not going
to watch the subtitles. I'm going to listen.
Actually, you know what? Ah, damn it. You know what? I'm going to turn the subtitles off, and then we're gonna figure this out. Let's drag it back a little bit. Okay, this is very important.
Means no.
Very well. I'll drop it.
Yeah.
beholds a bursting with swag. That bit of shine matters to us. Why?
See, okay, what the hell?
He's saying that basically he has shit tons of gold, so what does one little gold piece mean to him? And then it's basically, it's, I'll be honest, it's an absolutely terrible bluff fake out to think that he doesn't, it's like the whole, oh, I really don't care about it. No, fuck, I do actually care about it.
Okay, but it's, he's bluffing.
Oh, yeah, he's basically saying, you know, I think his exact lines are, me holds me bursting with slag, one piece mean nothing to us.
Okay, well, we're about to find out because subtitles are on now.
I'll drop it.
Beholds a burst.
Burst him with swag.
That bit of shine,
matters to
us?
Oh,
he's asking, you really think I give a shit about a single goddamn gold coin?
It's in the form of a question.
Yeah.
Oh, see, yeah, that's the bit I never got.
Again, he's asking, he's like, what the fuck do you think this means to us in ye olde pirate speak?
And that is some old D pirate speak.
I think that, honestly, he was the only one that got the memo that they're supposed to speak in old pirate speak. Because nobody else speaks like that the entire goddamn... Okay, maybe Mr. Gibbs.
Yeah, a little bit.
But he's like the quintessential old-timey, like, 1970s pirate.
And he's kind of... wants to be a pirate, you know? He never really quite gets there, and once he's getting in the throes of chasing the Black Pearl and all that, that is his real coming out as a pirate.
But even he speaks in more modern English than Barbossa at times.
Fairly, yeah.
I mean, you can more or less understand what he's saying without turning on subtitles.
Goddamn, pirate speaks fucking hard.
Yeah.
Like, next talk like a pirate day? Like, when was the last time people... Oh, it already happened?
I think it was, like, Monday.
Wow, okay, well... Pass me right by. Seems to be only a thing that you kind of do on the internet anyway.
Yeah.
Not in real life. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I think if you went to work talking like a pirate, people would be like, are you having a fucking stroke or something?
You can only do it if you're also dressed as a pirate.
Or wear an eye patch at the very minimum.
Yeah, that's the rule. Nothing else you can do. Sorry.
Wear a pirate eye patch and have like a very puffy shirt.
Yeah.
And then you're 1970s pirate villain captain.
There's you can swap out a lot of pieces of this outfit. Like, you can go just peg leg, that's fine.
Tricone hat, maybe.
If you do just parrot, people may not get it. Especially if it's a live one, people will just be like, whoa, cool parrot, where'd you get it? I would.
If it's like the classic parrot. I think I've heard this rumor that parrots seem like repeat profanities more than anything else.
Because it's their favorite.
Yeah, it's like, they'll be like, basically, like, oh yeah, look at my parrot, he talks. Fuck you, you fucking cunt. I don't know why this parrot's Australian, but.
I would love that, though. I want an Australian parrot. You ever heard the one that can do perfect R2-D2 noises?
I think I have heard this one, yes.
Let's find this guy. 2D2, something like that. R2-D2 budgie?
And of course, it's in blue and white colors. I'm expecting that was another.
Man, he's doing them all.
So what I'm picking up is this person watches nothing other than Star Wars.
He locked this bird in a room alone with A New Hope.
I would say with the original trilogy, just endless on a loop.
Probably.
You don't want to just do A New Hope.
I like A New Hope, though. Always the one I seem to go to for some reason.
And honestly, I like Return of the Jedi more than most people.
It's fun.
Some parts of Return of the Jedi I like more than Empire Strikes Back. I will admit that. As a whole, Empire Strikes Back is still my favorite, obviously.
Of course.
But honestly, I love the last half hour of A New Hope. Or not A New Hope, Return of the Jedi.
I've been reading some really weird things recently. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure this is ironic, but people are saying with the advent of the new Star Wars movies coming out, they're treating the prequels as like a fond memory of what Star Wars once was.
It's not the worst thing to do.
It's dripping in irony.
Oh,
though.
Yeah.
I can tell.
But no, I mean, I love, especially my favorite part of Return of the Jedi that I love the most, that part of the reason why I adore it so much watching it, is the final lightsaber duel between Luke and Vader.
It's awesome.
Well, and this is how I've summarized it in a single sentence, is from the time where Vader and Luke meet before going up to see the Emperor, from that point until he throws the Emperor down the shaft. It's an externalization of an internal conflict, both between the two of them, in Vader himself, in Luke. It's all three of those, you know, things all at once that you're seeing it, but it's going on inside them as well.
It works on all levels.
You know, it's Luke, you know, debating, okay, do I kill the Emperor, which is something that's wrong, which is technically something that will take me to the dark side? Do I do it for the greater good?
The greater good.
And then as a result, do I have to fight my father in order to do so? Mm-hmm. You know, and potentially kill my father? And many times Luke tries to disengage and try and, get away from the fight and save Vader. Tell Vader, you know, look, I know you're not a bad person. You've done bad shit for so long, you don't know what else to do.
And Vader's just like, yeah.
Yeah, you're right, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to stop doing bad shit.
Well, if killing the Emperor would bring Luke to the dark side, what the hell else are you going to do? Wouldn't the Jedi Masters of the Republic of old have to have killed people
at
some point?
That's not. But the thing is, and the Emperor makes actually a very specific point of pointing this out, is, oh, I'm sitting here, I'm defenseless. Take your Jedi weapon and strike me down with all your hatred.
Right.
Which, one of the things that Yoda says in Empire Strikes Back is, a Jedi attacks only in defense, not in attack, not in personal, you know, a vendetta.
If we just ignore episode 2.
Basically, you know, you don't just cut down random people. You know, you don't just, kill people because you don't like them or because you're angry at them. You know, you should do it in protecting other people or protecting yourself.
I wonder what George, do you think he goes to the premieres of these new ones? I didn't hear if he did for episode 7.
I heard he didn't like it as much.
Uh-huh.
Because, I don't know, but then again,
because
really,
it wasn't his.
Can we really trust George Lucas's opinion on Star Wars anymore?
He's not doing anything anymore. We don't really have to listen to him. I just want to hear his reactions. You
he
know?
Probably just didn't like being told to go away. Probably.
But he's, you know, you got almost $3 billion. You can figure out how to live.
I thought
with
it was four and like royalties.
Was it four?
I know he sold Lucasfilm for $4 million.
Billion or million?
I think
it should be billion.
I think it was with a B.
Yeah, probably a B. Let me see. Lucasfilm. We could probably figure out what it was sold for. Disney subsidiary. October 30th, 2012, Disney announced a deal to acquire Lucasfilm for $4.05 billion.
Wow.
That's fucking crazy.
I think, and it was also, and like, a 1% share of Disney stock.
Oh my god, dude.
Or a 2%. Which, that doesn't sound like much until you realize how much fucking money Disney is worth.
Can you imagine what the show would turn into if we had 1% of Disney stock?
If we had that much money?
What the hell? Yeah, like, we wouldn't... We'd be living in California right now.
No, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either, but it's an option. We'll keep the money. The electricity's cheap here. Why would we go anywhere else?
Yeah.
That's true. We actually do have the cheapest electricity, I think, in the entire country.
Really?
But at least like in the top five, thanks to that good old hydroelectric power.
Hmm.
It's just flowing out of here. And also, you know, all those fancy windmills that we got, too.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, he did shit. George Lucas did stuff for Rogue One, it looks like.
Huh.
Wait. No. Sorry. I'm on the Lucasfilm page. That doesn't make any sense. Anyway, yeah, George Lucas ain't doing shit.
Which is probably for the best.
I just kind of want to see the. Remember when Shia LaBeouf was doing that thing where he had to. He did this on purpose. He was watching all his films in reverse chronological order, and you kind of got to see the changes of his emotions and the pain in his face as it went on. I kind of want that camera set up for just George Lucas at the premiere of each new Star Wars movie. Him sitting in the front row, his face changing various shades of purple and red. It'd be fun, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I, you know, want him to suffer or anything. I just think it would be funny. Because if you can't hide that stuff on your face, why would you even show up to the premiere? I don't think he goes. It would be great if he did, but I don't have anybody that I could pay to set up that camera.
No.
kind of sucks. But
part of me would just want to just play the original, the prequel trilogy just on a loop endlessly.
Yeah, see if he's rethought it a little bit.
Or even better, play him the Plinkett Star Wars reviews.
Oh man, I wonder if just he's sit ever him down seen and those.
Watch all 3 of them in a row just to show him what terrible shit he created.
God, if I was George Lucas, I would be doing that. I would be seeing what the internet was thinking, and I'm retired at this point, so it doesn't matter what they think.
You
but
just got a $4.05 billion paycheck. You are above the plebs who are criticizing your music.
Yeah.
Your movies, not your music.
Oh, man. What if he starts getting into the music game? DJ oh, George Lucas, motherfucker.
DJ Ewok.
I would fucking listen to that. I don't know if I'd pay for it, but I would do something with it.
It'd probably be all electronic music because we know he loves his computers.
He does love his computers. Yeah. I think that's something he could get into. Not that far of a jump. Little Georgie, come on, you can do it. I just want you to put something out for us to laugh at again. It's been so long.
I'm just now picturing George Lucas in like some over the top button up shirt with only like half the buttons buttoned up, some giant ass sunglasses,
yeah,
oversized headphones with gold accents on them or something like that.
Fuck yeah,
just like bouncing with some laser display thing for him DJing.
And the cans on the headphones are Millennium Falcons.
Something like that. Or like one's the Rebels Alliance symbol, one's the Empire symbol.
Oh shit, that would be awesome. Come on, George. You heard us. Let's get this existence thing rolling. We've done this before. We could do it again. Go ahead and like us on Facebook, facebook.com/TGF Radio. We're also TGF Radio on Twitter. Email us things, because you're not going to watch you at tgfradioshow@gmail.com. All the old episodes and subscribable links, iTunes and RSS, or tgfradio.com. Got anything to say before we get out?
Even better idea. For the headphones, one side, because you got to have domed ones. One side is Death Star 1, one side is Death Star 2.
Oh, shit!
And then there's lasers going across the headphone band to the center where there's the big explosion.
He's got the money where he can just talk to the Daft Punk guys now, and they can make a suit for him. It would be awesome. Not even the full suit, just the headphones that turn into a helmet or something. I don't know. We might be putting too many details on this for it to be spoken into existence, but we're hoping.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Might as well be specific.
We'll be back next week. You may not be here.
I should be here next week. The week after is up in the air.
Okay, we're figuring it out as we go. This new job's really fucking with us. Party on, everybody.